Hey there, boys, girls, and flying squirrels. My name's Joe Keyport, and you're listening to the Ear Coffee Podcast. For this week's episode, I talked to Taylor, Seth, and Evan of the band Partition. During this episode, we talked about the beginnings of the band in Virginia, the making of their debut record, Prodigal Gun, their single Get Clean, and its music video, plus the fact that Taylor has 5 albums worth of material squirreled away. So much music I just want to hear. So, without further ado, it's Partition on the Ear Coffee Podcast. So, I'm talking to Taylor, Seth, and Evan of Partition. How's it going today?
All right, it's a chilly one.
It's cold.
It's pretty good, yeah.
Yeah, this weather's some bullshit.
That's true.
Nothing like snow before Halloween.
Oh, absolutely, absolutely.
I'm going to go as a snowman.
So let's start at the beginning. Kind of tell me how the band came together, because Taylor, you're from Virginia, right?
Yeah.
So did it start out there and come here? Or?
It did.
So just kind of tell me how we got to here with the band.
Okay, so had the band out in Richmond, because I written some of these songs, maybe about like 4 or 5 songs off the album before I even moved to Richmond, because I'm from a small town in Virginia, and I went to college there, VCU. And like, the band just wasn't really working out there, you know, just partying a lot and just not taking it generally seriously. And went to rehab, and I was out in sober living in California. Evan and I have been internet friends on Instagram since like the 9th grade.
Well,
yeah. So then I just kind of was like, what if I came to Minnesota? And he was like, if you did, we can start the band. And I was like, all right. And I spent all my money on a plane ticket, and I came here with no money. I lived on a farm because I used to work with horses. So.
Okay. Where was that farm located?
It was in Webster, Minnesota. It was like about an hour south, and I lived like in a barn.
Yeah, it was over by like Lakeville.
Okay.
Yeah. A little west of it.
It was very weird coming here from California because it was like summer there, and I get here. And it's like, you guys had a snow, and I was like, what the fuck?
Yeah, right.
Yeah, and then Evan was driving, like, 2 hours round trip just for band practice. And we were just 2-piece band practicing for a while.
Mm, okay.
And then we moved.
So was that bass and drums then?
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah.
Just teaching him the songs and stuff. He was kind of familiar with some of them, just sending him demos throughout the years. And then we moved into Paper House, the RIP, the house venue.
Mm-hmm, yeah.
And, Seth was there for a show. He was like, in our room hanging out with people. And I was like, you play guitar? Are you in a band? Do you want to be in our band? And then he came to practice, and I was like, this worked out perfect. And that was July 2018, and we had our first show. It was also our demo release, Prodigal Demo, in September of 2018.
Okay. I was wondering, all of yours ties to the Paper House, because like the Prodigal Demo credits said it was recorded in the Paper House.
Yeah.
And then I was noticing, watching some of those, the older music videos.
They're all
in the basement there. Cause I was a little like painted like figure in the corner. I was like, oh, okay. That looks like Paper House stuff.
Right.
I was just so
free space.
Yeah.
Yeah. All right.
So did you all live there, or was it just
us two?
Okay.
Yes.
I didn't. I just came.
Just
right
metaphorically.
Gotcha.
Seth lives.
Yeah. Gotcha.
Seth was the spirit.
Yeah.
The spirit of the Paper House.
More than us before we moved there.
Okay. I'm interested, how much of like how important was Paper House to kind of the DIY scene? Because obviously you saw, I don't go to a lot of house shows just due to time and constraints like that. But you always, before it was shut down, you always saw them like hosting everything.
Yeah.
When it was eventually shut down, was there a big hole left in kind of the DIY house venue community?
I would say, I mean, especially for us, because whenever we wanted to throw a show, it was an easy place to throw a show,
yeah.
You know? So I would say as far, there's no house venue is the same as it, you know?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, at least around here.
Yeah. But at the same time, that hole has kind of been filled by a bunch of other people who are now opening their doors to the community. They kind of saw what Paper House did, and they're like, well, we want to sort of do the same thing.
Yeah.
That's so true.
We want to do that, but cleaner.
Right. Well, notice how many house venues popped up
right
around the time.
Yeah, they're definitely going after the Paper House model. Like Row House, they're throwing like so many fucking shows all the time, like Paper House used to.
But it's cool, though, because, I mean, it influenced a bunch of people.
Somebody's got
to
do it.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
House shows are, I'm sorry, this might be controversial to some listeners, but house shows are better than bar shows. You can't change my mind.
I would agree. I've only been to, technically 2 house shows. The second one was the one Ear Coffee did
with you all. Yeah, and the other one was just one of my friends was kind of returning to performing, so we did it in his basement. And
so you never went to Paper House?
I never went to Paper House. Oh, that was the one I wanted to go to, but just the shows never lined up with my schedule. Yeah.
Well, that's I get you.
Yeah. But the vibe at a house show is way better than like if I went to like the 331 or like the Amsterdam.
We gotta pay to be there.
Yeah.
This is what I always say is the fact that when it's a house show, it's a group of people who are obviously going there for the music.
Yeah.
There's no like strictly, well, we can go there and buy drinks and we can go there and like we're sure that we can do crazy stuff there.
Yeah.
Because Paper House was different. It was a mess already, so a bunch of people thought they could come in and mess it up some more.
Yeah.
But, you know, with how the house venues are coming out now, it's a space for music. That's what it was supposed to be in the first place. So instead of you going and playing to 5 or 10 drinkers who didn't even know, nor do they care that you're there.
Yeah. Like,
you know,
you're they got a girl up there.
Yeah, right. you're playing to, you know, 10 or 20 people who, like, you know, paid $2 at the door to come see some bands that they actually enjoy.
Yeah.
Right.
I mean, like, you have the option not to go to a house venue.
And it's
just
more intimate, too. They get closer to you.
Oh, absolutely.
And there's just generally more people there.
I mean, at last Paper House show, when it was filled up like that, I mean, most shows, it was like that. But when they're right next to you, you know, you can smell each other and it's like it's interesting to have it that close versus like a bar that has a stage 5 feet off the ground and 10 feet from the audience.
Yeah. Right. And if it's not packed in there, it just feels like, why are we up here?
Yeah.
Like,
it's just glorified practice.
It was like I went and saw Sal Paradise and Kate Malanafy at Palmer's bar last weekend.
Yeah, it's a small place.
And it's a small place. And the fact that like half the crowd wasn't there to see music,
right?
Like, they talked over Kate's music because it's just soft piano.
That sucks.
Yeah,
I love their music.
Yeah,
and like you get there was an acoustic. They hosted multiple acoustic shows at the Paper House, and you know it was. Everybody was quiet.
Yeah, we all sat down. It was really nice.
People snapped instead of loudly clapping. I mean, it was
that's
interesting.
Dope. Yeah,
so inappropriate.
Very
exactly. Very
beatnik.
Settled.
So you recorded your demo, which was released about a year ago last month at the Paper House. What was it like recording that? And I was wondering why you called it a demo and as opposed to just saying it was just a regular EP.
Because it's not recorded well enough to be called an EP. And
have
also,
you heard the quality?
Oh, I mean,
yeah, you listen to it, right?
Yeah.
And also, all those songs are going to be on our album.
Okay.
And recorded better, you know. And the album's called Prodigal Gun, so it's just basically the demo for the album.
Gotcha. How did you record the Prodigal demo then? If
we recorded it live, we did like 2 songs one day, 3 songs the next day, and we probably didn't do more than 2 or 3 takes.
Okay. Cause it felt like almost like there was just one microphone in the middle of everybody. Just
I think.
Yeah, kind of.
We had our amps and everything mic'd up, and the drums were mic'd. But I mean, for the most part, it was all kind of.
It was live.
Yeah. Sheer volume.
And I didn't record vocals separately because I don't like to do that. I mean, we did it for our album and it worked out fine and I realize it's okay now or whatever, but
yeah.
Before I was like, I don't want to do that.
They've come around.
Yeah. So that's why you can hear me probably less than you should be able to.
The demo as well was recorded analog on like a reel-to-reel machine.
Oh, that's
like there was only like 8 inputs.
Okay.
We only
got,
had
like
4 mics maybe.
Is that how you recorded the album too?
No.
We did digital for
that.
We
got into the future.
Sorry. Sorry, true music fans.
Devin from Harper's Jar recorded the demo. He's the one that had the reel-to-reel.
Okay.
That's right. And he did a great job considering.
Oh, yeah. He understood what we were trying to go for this album. Because I didn't, with our album, like, we are doing the mixing, really. Like, just with the guy there.
Mm-hmm.
But with her Prodigal demo, I mean, I think Devin just mixed it. And maybe he asked him to do, like, one thing.
So, we were just like, make it sound loud, I remember saying.
It's
like, I can do that. I can make it sound raw.
Have you heard of the
Stooges? It's kind of like I was watching Noisy put out a garage rock documentary forever ago, and
interesting.
Dead Moon was on it before.
I love
we love Dead Moon.
I can't remember the guy's name off the top of my head, but he bought a cutting lathe for acetate just because he's like, anytime I sent off masters, they wouldn't make them loud enough for me, so I just bought my own machine I could make them distorted.
That's
I'm interested.
Do it yourself.
How does writing work with this band? Is it everybody brings stuff to the table and jam stuff out, or is it?
I've written all these songs start to finish like 3+ years ago.
Okay.
I've got like a lot of like things in backlog, you know. I write all the songs start to finish, then just bring it to them.
Okay.
And sometimes we'll tweak something, you know.
All right. Anytime you take it to a full band, you know, just compared to playing it by yourself, you always end up maybe changing a little bit. But generally, like, you know, the main melody and everything stays the same with what Taylor has done.
The bass line never changes. Like, it's written on lyrics and bass.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Okay. Speaking of bass, Taylor, how many basses do you go through? Because I saw you just got a new one, and then
it's
a
recent development.
And then I know before you went into this to the studio to record the Prodigal Gun that you were talking about, you had issues with trying to get that to work. And you're not hard. You don't go easy on those instruments either.
It's something I have to start doing. When I first moved up here, I didn't have a bass here because my bass was back in Virginia, and you like. Have to buy a really expensive case to get it on the plane and shit. So I bought like my little purple bass, little short scale Ibanez, and I just threw it every show because it was fun. I did not realize that would totally fuck it up.
Hard to believe.
Yeah, well, you learn something new every day. And our last show we played with it, like it had like 3 dead frets because actually at the show... You guys saw us at the Ear Coffee show, I think it was. Is that the one where they made us play Brains too?
No one made you play that.
I didn't play it.
Well, yeah.
But anyway, I think it was that Ear Coffee show, because like, was that the one where they asked for like another song?
They asked for 40 and
70. Yeah, because I threw my guitar, and then they were like, play again. So we played again, and I threw my guitar again, and that was like... Nail on the
coffin. So I was like, I already took one this show, I'm out, I'm done.
Yeah, we played Blush in Duluth, and like, I was like, why does my guitar sound like shit? Then we had practice because we were practicing for the album and I had 2 dead frets.
Mm-hmm.
And we went to like a guitar store that day and they were like, you might as well put this thing up on
the fretboard. The fretboard was actually just like off
peeling
of the neck.
From the,
it was busted off of the neck. The neck was still in place. It was it was just the fretboard was peeling off of it.
It was fucked.
Yeah.
And, there's definitely some chips off that guitar. Mm-hmm. I think the guys from Row House and the 2 times we played there, because they got the cement floor, they're like, we keep getting more pieces of your bass.
I know when we were working the door, the guy came out and was talking about how he had one of the big pieces off your bass from the last time you'd played beforehand. So I'm interested. Prodigal is a word. Obviously, it's kind of a religious term, and it's the Prodigal demo, and then you say the Prodigal Gun. What is some of that? Why is some of that imagery making it into like the releases you have coming out? Because I mean, there is like the Virgin Mary with Jesus on the Prodigal demo and stuff like that. Is that something on purpose you're working, or why are you working that into
I think the highest form of art is irony, and I think Catholic art is really ironic. I think it's really funny because it's like religion and these people are so like, you know, conservative and such,
yeah,
and then you've got pictures of like a bloody human being on a cross and they're wearing it around their neck. You know, I just think that's such a funny dichotomic kind of thing, you know?
Yeah.
And like my family's Catholic and I think I'm really into the idea of queering religion. On our album cover, we're going to have a trans woman as the Virgin Mary with an AR-15 instead of baby Jesus.
Nice. That's super dope. So then, did you work with anybody when recording Prodigal Gun, or was that all you guys?
We recorded with the person, have you heard our Live at KOG?
I have, yeah.
Yeah, so it's that same person.
Okay.
A lot better quality.
Okay,
yeah. That was, like, at the radio station with their equipment, not with his equipment. And we recorded in his house, and it was really nice. Because I got to do my vocals and everything in a bedroom, just like when I wrote the song.
Yeah. Shout out to Adam Colt. That's who's a
huge one. We're a Colt fan. Colts fan.
Yeah,
Colt fan.
Go Colts.
Go Colt.
Did you then record that all in like a weekend, or was that over a couple of weeks?
We did the instruments in 2 days and the vocals in 2 days.
Yeah, tracking in 2 days.
Yeah. Vocals, yeah.
And now mixing is kind of taking
mixing
forever.
Is going very slowly. We've only been in there to mix, what, like 3 times now?
Okay.
Yeah,
so probably another 3 to 5 times will be done.
I hate their work schedules. It's a totally different scenario.
Don't work at grocery stores.
Yeah, the fucking grocery boys over here.
Do you... so then, is that why Get Clean was picked as the single? Because is that one of the first ones mixed, or is that...
Well, we mixed it first because we wanted it to be the single. Because I wanted to do... a song that wasn't on the demo.
Okay.
So it'd be like new, you know?
Yeah, because it's not on the demo and it's not on that Live at KOG
right.
EP you put out.
And the music video idea is affordable. What? In comparison to other ideas. Apparently Sod cost $1 million.
Oh yeah.
what do you have for an idea for that music video? Because it'll be, the music video will be out, and I'm assuming the single will be out by the time this.
Right.
Yeah.
It's around. The song is called Get Clean, kind of like, you know, getting sober.
Yeah.
And the music video, in short story form, is like they come and dig me out of a grave, mm-hmm. And they try and give me a bath, try and clean me up to be in a band with them, and then I like refuse it, and then like I give myself a bath, like kind of like as a metaphor, is like you can only get sober when you want to. Mm-hmm. Like if people wanted me to get sober for a long time, and you just have to want to do it yourself.
Yeah, is that what the song itself is about as well? Because it's a pretty heavy lyrically, it's a pretty heavy song.
It's just about, I mean, yeah, sobriety, I guess. Mm-hmm. Like the first line is kind of like, you know, kind of making fun of my childhood trauma that probably has created all my issues thus forth. They say childhood is the that spot for you. Whatever happens there is how you are forever or whatever. And the next line is kind of how, like, the next verse is kind of like, mm-hmm. how I thought I didn't have a problem. I had straight A's. I can't be a junkie and get straight A's, you know, because I love school. So I was just like, if I'm getting straight A's, can't be that bad. Mm-hmm. And then the last verse is kind of like a big fuck you to all the people who said I'd be nothing more than a junkie. Listen to the album. It's good.
is the whole album kind of dealing with that kind of...
That is definitely a recurring theme. Okay. I mean, it's like a breakup album, mm-hmm. and a drug album, and then just family stuff.
Because mm-hmm. I know you, like, the Prodigal demo kind of spans that gamut with, like, Why Did He Lie and some of those other songs. Would it be, I'm assuming, I listening to it, it was kind of hard to hear the lyrics in a lot of those
yeah.
songs, but okay.
They're on the Bandcamp. I wrote them out.
Yeah.
I think. I don't know, maybe.
I don't remember if you finished that or not. But they'll be written out soon enough.
Oh, well, yeah.
Do you have any a release date for The Prodigal Gun then? Or is
oh,
that...
God, Seth, I forgot to tell you. I mean...
Well, you can't tell.
I'm not going to say it on Anyway, our release date is right. Not what we thought, Seth. It's probably going to be 2020.
All right. Okay. Yeah, early 2020.
Yeah. We might do a second music video and second single mm-hmm. by the end of the year.
No, and it's all gonna have to be based around winter. So,
I mean, yeah, I have really no idea. So many outdoor music video ideas. What the fuck?
you came to the wrong state for that one,
Arizona.
Yeah,
first warm state.
We'll
I thought
it
of.
Out.
Because yeah, typically Taylor, do you do all of the music video stuff yourself?
Oh,
I mean,
yeah.
Those early three were just you in the basement of Paper House,
right?
With...
And I chose those songs because those were songs I've never had like. Super thought out ideas for music mm-hmm. videos. Like those are songs that won't get their own music video when they're recorded correctly.
Mm-hmm.
So that's why I chose those songs. Like Drugstore Anthem and Prodigal Gun, I've got very specific ideas. I'm very into film, and I think music video is like my favorite form of art because it's music and film.
Yeah.
Way, you know? So.
And there's something about being able to tell, I don't know, I always appreciate when a band puts out some sort of story with like the song or the in the video, just because a performance video is cool and all, but if I wanted to see you perform, I just watch you guys live.
Right. Yeah. We got to give a taste of what it's all about.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So with this, with Prodigal Gun, are we expecting to see some physical release as well? Because I know Prodigal Demo is on.
We'd really like to do vinyl.
Oh, really?
Depending on who we go through in the end.
And depending,
we're in talks.
Oh, you are talking to some
labels.
People?
Yeah, oh, nice. We're just in talks. So
okay,
that's another reason why the date's kind of like
up in
a
the air.
Vaporous gas.
Because
yeah.
you gotta fit into their release schedule as well.
Well, it's more like talking to. People it takes for fucking ever. It takes 2 weeks to get back to you, you know, and stuff
yeah.
like that. So, and also it's taking way longer to mix it than I thought. So, it's fine. 2020 is probably better anyway. Because
yeah.
I mean, you're basically at the end of the year, and everyone's like, "Not the best album. 2020 came out last year, bitches."
So. Plus, there's a bit of a cassette shortage as well.
That's what I saw.
Forged
yeah.
Artifacts was tweeting about that.
Yeah, that's
what
I saw.
Week.
That
interesting.
Yeah,
like that. The biggest manufacturer is like, we don't have all that shit right now. Because
the factory yeah. that does the chemical is under construction.
Oh, interesting.
Yeah.
National shortage.
Bail them out.
Bail them out. This is weird. I was talking to, was it Matt Harris from Brace Cove? And he was talking about when Guardians of the Galaxy, the awesome, or the mixtape volume one came out, there was a massive shortage of cassettes just because, like, whatever record, massive label bought those, just bought them all. So
oh,
they could
yeah.
make,
oh, really?
Make that, yeah.
Like the movie?
Yeah, just the movie, like the soundtrack. So they could put
oh,
it on cassette.
Oh, they put on cassette?
Yeah.
God, yeah, because it's in the movie. Target. It makes yeah. more oh, sense. Like, because yeah. he, like, okay. listens to these old tunes.
I don't watch
but anyway.
You, well, you can get your fake Walkman from Target and buy the soundtrack.
Yeah, exactly. And then you can just be like one of the kids from Stranger Things.
Hop it into your Crosley 5-in-1. Oof. Is right.
Yeah.
Oof-da.
Late last month, I saw... Taylor, do you run the Twitter as well?
Yeah.
Okay. I saw, and then you were tweeting about...
We don't use it very well. I don't know how to use
that's
it.
That's okay. Wes runs our Twitter, because yeah. I'm not a social media person. You were tweeting about how femme-led punk bands often get compared to Bikini Kill.
Oh, God, yeah.
Is that, like, an issue you all have to do? Like,
I'm
deal
sick
with?
Of it, personally, because, like, I just feel like a lot of people with Bikini Kill, they get, like... their ethos and their musical ability intertwined, you know? So when I'm like, I don't like Bikini Kill, they're like, you don't like feminism. But it's like, I don't want to be compared to them because our songs are better. And we have, and we're not, it's not the same type of music, you know? No. Not really. It just happened to be like, I'm trans, my pronouns are they, them. And to get compared to like the girl icon all the time is pretty annoying.
Yeah, okay.
And it's like, we're not a political band, you know? We have a lot more lyrical content than Kathleen Hanna does, so. And I kind of think she's probably a TERF. So.
Oof.
We're going to start an internet
cutting
Hanna
remarks.
Over this.
You know.
Come get me, Kathleen Hanna. I'll punch you.
Right. Do you find then, like, do you think the band gets pigeonholed into kind of that Riot Girl aesthetic? Because
I would say booking wise, no. Okay. I feel like booking wise, I don't know, booking wise, we really don't get pigeonholed. I guess we just kind of are on random shows.
That's kind of how it is in Minnesota, though, just because I've been playing shows since I was 15. Like, a lot of the time, it is a bit of variety.
Yeah,
you know, it just depends. Too.
Well,
I
mean, we played shows
friends
with
and...
metal bands.
Yeah,
so, like, we've
oh yeah, I did that a bunch back.
I feel like we've been more lumped in with the, like, someone told me the other day that us, Mies, and Perfume were all like the same band. I'm like, literally, none of us sound the same. We just all have trans lead singers.
Right.
So if anything, I guess we get lumped in with them, which I would prefer because it recognizes my gender more, at least, even though, can you listen to the songs? I don't know.
Right. Yeah.
Well, it's just like grunge music back in the day. Soundgarden, Alice in Chains, Nirvana. What's the other one? The one that's, Pearl Jam.
Pearl Jam.
Right.
The one I like the least, so that's why I had to think. But really, none of those bands really sound the same.
No, for being grunge.
You know what I mean?
Right. Like, Soundgarden was more of a metal band than anything.
Right, exactly. Yeah. Like, they're the heaviest metal band. Alice in Chains is like a doom metal band. Right.
Yeah,
think
very
about
ooh,
yeah.
You could almost compare Alice in Chains.
And then Nirvana is like a pop band compared to the rest of
right.
them.
Right.
Yeah.
Right.
Barring
like
in
Beatles,
utero.
Alice in Chains. Nirvana is probably closer to Pearl Jam in that list.
Yeah, no shit, which is
weird.
Sorted.
Yeah.
So then, Seth and Evan, did you play in other bands beforehand?
Yeah, I played a band before this one, which was just me and a couple of high school buddies who just played instruments.
What was the name? So I don't know that.
What was it?
We called ourselves PAFF for
that's
the longest time. PAFF.
Okay.
Interesting.
But it was fun.
Went down the wrong path.
It was definitely. The drummer and I started getting together because we had never played instruments before. Mm-hmm. I think we were like 12 or 13 at the time. And we had never touched our instruments. So I just picked up guitar and he picked up the drums.
Seth sang. Seth has a beautiful voice.
No.
I'm not going to hear you sing on any of that.
No, definitely not.
Not this album because it's just too late. I don't know anything about backup vocals, so maybe next
I couldn't
time.
Do any harmonies on this album if I tried. I'll get a couple of oohs and ahs.
Because I'm
there.
Not in tune.
It's hard to find the key.
It's my own key. I made it up.
He's got the better one, though.
Oh, I do? Yeah.
Come on,
so.
He's been in real bands.
Yeah.
You used to play drums and Wax Lead, right? That's
awesome. Yeah, I was in Wax Lead for a bit. And I have nothing but good things to say about them all. It was not a, or I should say rather, it was amicable.
Mm-hmm.
And
we love them. We're seeing them tonight. Oh, nice. They just released a split with Luna Honey.
Yeah, and I'm actually on that single that they released. Really? Yeah, oh, cool. It's something we recorded a while back now, and they just finally got it like mastered and everything and got it released with the Luna Honey. Because even when I was in the band, we were talking about doing that split.
Yeah, and it's
that
on a long vinyl. Time ago. You're on vinyl, baby. Yeah. Cool.
On vinyl for the first time. Interesting.
So are they? Is the drummer from the Bloodies playing with them now?
No, he's not. He's the guitar player in Trinity Test, actually. His name is Aaron Anderson. Shouts out to Aaron.
That's
can't
funny,
wait to see you tonight,
have another
bud.
Aaron for a bit playing the theremin.
Aaron Jacobson, yes.
He's got his own band now.
Mm-hmm. Shading the Sun, I want to say.
Yeah, Shading the Sun,
called.
All lowercase, no spaces.
Yeah, but so yeah, Waxled, great goth stuff. I had fun playing with them. Mm-hmm. I just I wanted to focus more on Partition because...
Okay.
It just meant more to me. Like, I like goth rock and stuff, but like, I'm much more of a punk rock kind of person. Yeah. So I just was like, I think it benefited us both that I got out of there. But then, yeah, before that, for many, many years, like, I started when I was 15 in a band that is called The Retakes. That was not the very first name, but that's what we ran on for the most part. And there's like stuff on Bandcamp.
Girl EP was. Heavy influence for me when I first started playing bass, because I bought a bass like, and me and Evan were internet friends. He's like, listen to my band, and Girly P rocks.
Yeah, shouts out to Donnie Kirksey of Minor Inconvenience.
Give him a curtsy.
Yeah, a curtsy for Kirksey. He played bass on Girly P and quite a few other things. But yeah, I was in The Retakes for a long time, but that has also come to an end. Not so much amicably, but. Amicably.
Yeah.
But.
A little bit of a Yoko Ono situation.
It's tough, man. I have to really think that one out.
Yeah. Is Partition all of your like main band then?
It's all of our only band.
Yeah. Right. Right now,
I won't let
them
be another band. Yeah. I mean, it was okay when he was in Waxled, you know, because I love Waxled.
Yeah.
Yeah, that was my choice. I would like to emphasize to not be in there. I wasn't pressured.
Though it does have made things easier. But I wouldn't say, I didn't say anything.
So then just to kind of like wrap things up, what does the rest of 2019 and early 2020 look like for you all?
We're playing such a sick show, but, well, I mean, I guess we can say it because it'll be announced by the time this comes out.
Yeah, it'll be.
Yeah, but it might even be over by the time this comes out.
We're looking at releasing this first half of November.
All right. Well, November 14th, we're playing 7th Street opening for Girlwood.
Ooh.
That's right.
It's not announced yet, but this is gonna come out later, you know. And we fucking love that band. Girlwood is probably my favorite modern band. We play with them in Chicago.
Yeah, at a house venue there.
Blown. They're the best live band. They're amazing people. Mm-hmm. Their music is awesome. They're queer. They're from Appalachia. I fucking love them.
Nice.
And to be able to play with them in our home turf is pretty cool.
Mm-hmm. No band quite sounds like Girlwood either.
Okay.
Her
like I've seen a lot of
so
music.
Unique.
I've never heard of them.
Guitar and drums.
And she's so two-piece. Fast. Oh. They've got a right hand that's just like never stops moving. It's a blur.
And she can hit like these operetta like high notes with her voice. And the lyrics are good. Like they're funny and heavy, which is what I like to do, you know.
Yeah.
Yeah, super funny band.
I would like to tour with them sometime. I just fucking love them.
Cause you guys have played with some pretty cool people. I know. You did a show with Mannequin Pussy forever ago.
Yeah, forever ago. In 2016, I played with Mannequin Pussy and Surfboard.
Oh, wow.
And they were both nobodies.
Mm-hmm, yeah.
And of course, they didn't, you know, have a fall, so they got to keep going up. You know, we kind of had to start from square one. Mm-hmm. But it's cool that we got to play with those bands for sure. I'd love to play with Surfboard again and Mannequin Pussy, too.
Since this is something I should have asked, I don't know, like 20 minutes ago, but How was it putting a band back together again after essentially scrapping it scrapping it due to just the circumstances there?
I didn't scrap it. Those boys quit on me.
Oh,
and
did
I'm like,
they?
Fuck. Nobody wanted to be in a band with me. Well, our last show is just like, I was like, my boyfriend were broken up for like 2 days and I was like drunk and it was my birthday and people were throwing bottles and I threw my guitar at my guitarist, and after that everyone's like, you should take some time to deal with yourself. Like, I don't know, I feel like if I was a guy they'd be like, oh, you know, he was just a little fucked up, but since like I'm not a guy, they're like, you got a problem. I mean, I did have a problem, and so would a guy in that scenario, but gender wise that's how the reaction was. But anyway, this is kind of like my last ditch because I'm so tired of like of trying to do this because it's like my heart, and I have the albums written a certain order that I want to do, and obviously we've never gotten off the first album, so we're still playing these songs.
Mm-hmm.
Though we do on the album, we have a song called "That Will Change," which I wrote at Paper House.
Okay.
So that's like very, very new song. Anyway, yeah, it's kind of like you're getting your heart stepped on, but it's like you got to have it all together because, like, what's the point of living otherwise?
Mm-hmm.
And that's why I kind of came out here with nothing because it's like, got to fucking try one last time.
Mm.
Thank God. Hopefully I don't have to try again.
Yeah, hopefully this is...
At least we got the album recorded. God.
So yeah, then are you holding off writing new songs just because you want to get these done with, or?
No, I mean, I've got like 5 albums written. I just going and compiling, yeah.
Oh, wow. So what made you want to just get these out as opposed to, I don't know, throwing them into the vault for something later and just picking from the fresher stuff?
Well, this is a good intro album. Well, first of all, it's like the first songs I've written, and also like we get a lot weirder, you know? So
weirder how?
You'll have to see.
Oh, yeah. Okay. I mean, they haven't even really heard the second album songs because they're, I don't want to say complicated, but they also just don't sound right in a set list with the Prodigal Gun songs. And we'll probably do like an Incesticide-esque like B-sides things next because I have a lot of
shout
like,
out to Nirvana.
Yeah.
I've got a lot of like Bastard songs that I think would be good songs to just kind of throw together as a good bridge between the second one.
Mm-hmm. Nice. Well, so we got shows coming up in November. Anything coming up? Or obviously, the album is probably going to come out in early 2020 then.
Yeah, our next show, well, our next Minneapolis show, which is November 1st, so that won't be, that'll be later.
Yeah. The 14th in Mankato with Grandma and Pierre.
Ooh.
Yeah, it'll be
good. Yeah, yeah, that's just
shouts a few
out days.
To Grandma and Pierre.
Mm-hmm.
Awesome. Well,
Pierre's grandma.
Well, thank you for sitting down and talking with me.
Yeah, thanks for having us.
Yeah, thanks for having me.
The Ear Coffee Podcast is a companion to the blog of the same name. If you like this episode, please leave us a rate and review so we can stand out among the other music podcasts. You can follow us at Twitter, Facebook, and Instagram @EarCoffee. Thank you for listening, and we'll see you next time.